All right, we are getting closer and closer to the end of our dive into Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, that we've been traveling through all summer. We began this travel clear back in May, actually, and it's been interesting. It's been tough at times, but it's been good to get in and just listen to Jesus' words and see how that can apply to us right now and today. So last week we talked about, you know, that everything we had talked about all summer up till last week led down to these last few weeks where there's decisions to be made. You know, Jesus prepared us for all this, and last week was the first of those decisions. And it had to do with two gates, right? Had this nice big wide gate with a nice big open field and a wide path for so many to travel on. A path of ease, a path of comfort, a path of, well, a path that led to destruction because it led away from God. The easy way isn't always the best way, Jesus is saying. And Jesus says you need to be mindful of where you're going and make that those tough decisions when you need to make them. And to do that, we need to be going down this other gate that Jesus mentioned. This narrow gate that leads to a way that's hard, but it leads to life. What kind of life does that lead to? A hard path, hard-fought path. What kind of life does that lead to? That he talked about. Him. He's the destination. God's the destination. Heaven's the destination. So where's the destination on the other one? It's not one we like to talk about very often. That's going to be part of our discussion this morning too. Not so much the destination, but the not liking to talk about it part. And so it was all preparing us for that. These decisions that we have to make. And today is about another decision. It's kind of about, like I said, who to trust. As we go down through all of this. Excuse me. So knowing that there's two destinations that we have, and we've covered what's on both sides of these gates that Jesus talked about, why would anyone leave that path to life? Now that we know that there's two paths, there's this nice big wide path that Jesus says don't take, and there's this hard narrow one that he says take this and find me, why would we leave the one that leads to Jesus? But there are people out there that are trying to get us to do exactly that. They're trying to get us to do exactly that. See, Jesus has this long sermon that we've been talking about all summer long, and it covers three chapters in Matthew, and he doesn't soften it up at the end of his sermon. All the gut punches that we've had all summer long, he continues those down through this. He says, because he wants us to be prepared. It's not all about lovey-dovey stuff with Jesus. He says, you're going to get that. That's the life stuff. Yes, I care about you. And yes, I've done all this stuff for you, but I want you to be prepared. And he says, next, he says, I want you to be prepared for this. So we're going to start at Matthew 7, verse 15, and it's on page 5 of your New Testament Pew Bibles, or Pew Bibles New Testament section. How about that? He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Notice that. He says that twice in this one passage. And he continues on. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And I think if you read, I like the way the, I think it's the King James, you workers of iniquity, he says there. This is hard stuff to fathom. Beware of false prophets and the wording Jesus uses. Ravenous wolves. There's dangers out there. And we've talked about prophets before. What is the main purpose or job of a prophet? Ideas. I know. I keep getting that. What's the purpose of a prophet? Not to make money. Tell us what God says, right? Speak forth God's words. Now, sometimes those prophets speak prophecy as far as this is what's going to happen in the future. You know, God said this is going to happen, or when this happens, you will see this happen. You know, stuff like that. But many, many times, it's to speak God's word forth to people. And sometimes it's a blessing. Say, hey, you're doing great. He says, I want to put this vision in you and this mission that you're supposed to be on, that I want you to be on. Jesus did this. The Great Commission is part of that prophecy that He had spoke forth. Go, make disciples. All of this. He's speaking forth that truth. This is my vision of the church, He says. But sometimes that vision that they have, that God has these prophets speak forth, is about correction, right? Over and over and over again, we read that in the Old Testament where it's like, you guys are messing up. Stop doing this, or God's going to do this. There's the future thing, by the way. God says, stop. I want you to turn back towards me. Is the Old Testament the only place we see this? No, hardly. A lot of Paul's writing is just the same thing. Writing letters to churches that are kind of faulty in their theology or some of the stuff that they're doing says, you guys need to stop doing this. Read Revelations, the letters that Jesus writes to the churches, those seven churches in Revelations. Straighten up! So yeah, prophets speak forth God's truth. And Jesus says, beware of false prophets. Because prophets have a pretty important job. And when He warns us about false prophets, He's not the only one that warns us of these things. We read about these many, many times in Scripture as well. Ezekiel 13:9 says, my hand, this is Him speaking God's word, my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and give lying divinations. They won't be in the council of my people. How about Jeremiah 23:6? It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. A lot of this has to do with some guys that were coming out and preaching peace, 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 and there's no peace to be found. Matthew 24, this is Jesus. Before He ascended, you know, after everything, and He says, look, He says, false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Even you and me. He says, my sheep, He's going to try and pull away from you. Or pull away from me. And Acts 20, this is Paul speaking from Acts. And he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He's talking to us leaders. He's talking to parents. He's talking to anybody that's over any kind of believers. He says, and He's telling you to care for the church of God. And He's not just talking about the men in First Church of God. He says, which He obtained with His own blood. Jesus obtained with His own blood. So I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Ravenous wolves. These are what Jesus is talking about in our Scripture this morning. Dangers of just blindly following people in faith, you know? It has so much to do with what we were talking about a few weeks ago. You know, judge not. So,
Right? That's what we talked about a few weeks ago. Judge not so that you won't be judged. So since we're not supposed to judge them, let them keep doing what they're doing, right? It's hardly what he said. Because it's all about discernment. It's all about knowing things like this. Being able to identify things like this. Yes, we're supposed to use good judgment. He doesn't want us being torn apart by ravenous wolves. Peter wrote about this. John wrote about this. Paul wrote more about this. Matter of fact, he said in future times, there'll be people with tickling ears, meaning they want to hear what they want to hear, and there's going to be plenty of people out there that will tell them what they want to hear. To scratch that itch or to tickle their ears for them. So what are false prophets? They're the ones that aren't preaching the truth. Even though it sounds like the truth, so close to the truth. Sometimes they use God's words and twist the truth. How did Satan try to tempt Jesus in the desert after his baptism? With God's word. Twisted God's word. And how did Jesus fend it off? God's word. The first sin was a twist of truth. Surely you won't die. Really? You're going to die if you eat this fruit? Two deaths, actually. One, the departure from that perfect relationship with God, and the other one, the death to come. So it's not always easy to identify these false prophets. You know, they come to you in sheep's clothing. I want you to think like spies. I want you to think like, you know, covert operatives, even. Some of them don't even realize that they're false prophets, to be honest with you. That's what makes this so hard. And why we read it over and over in Scripture to be wary of this and be ready for this and to be able to identify this. Because they're out there. And like I said, we're talking about some heavy stuff this morning. Twice in this passage, Jesus tells us exactly how we can help identify these. Right? He says, you will know them by their fruits. By their fruits you will know them. He said it at the beginning and at the end. So what are some of the fruits of disciples of Christ? Come on. Okay. That's one that didn't make my list. Yes! What else? What are some other fruits of God's Spirit? Come on. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Evan, you want to dance for us? Bible school, they do the Macarena to this thing right here, and Evan rocks it, I'm telling you. No, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, almost can't say it without the rhythm now. Thank you, Sheila. And, you know, these are the things that are in a disciple's lives, a disciple's life. A prophet's life, a proper prophet's life. It says, against these there is no law. So if there's joy, okay, love. Love for who?
Each other.
Everyone, right? Each other. Yeah. Joy. About what? Count it all joy, my friends, James tells us. Everything. Joy even in the bad times, which feeds right into peace. What kind of peace? Peace that passes understanding. When the going gets tough, there's still this peace that people don't understand. How can you have peace in your life? On and on, patience. Yeah. I won't even go there. You know? But all maybe these aren't all the fruits because Alice snuck one in on me, you know? But it's a good start. These fruits are. So what fruits identify false prophets then? Because they can have this stuff in their lives, right? Maybe not all of them. So what fruits can help us identify false prophets? Rotten fruit. Rotten fruit. It won't have necessarily good fruit in them. So if somebody is preaching God's word accurately with emotion, but their personal life is full of sin, it's bad fruit. Jesus has a word for guys like that. What is it? Hypocrite. Sadducees. Pharisees. Hypocrites. Saying one thing, doing the other, expecting the other. And they thought they were right. And, you know, they were doing the best they could. This is what they had inherited through tradition. And they knew they were right in everything they were doing. Do you see why this is so hard sometimes? Because, you know what, even the people thought that these guys knew what they were talking about and trusted them. How about focusing on the blessings and what they're teaching? You know, we've got tons of blessings. We're going to live forever with God because of salvation from Jesus Christ. Great news. Salvation from what? The part that people don't like to talk about. Three-letter word. Sin. If they're not talking about sin, they're not talking about hell. But they're talking about all the abundant blessings. You got to have a balance because you got to know what you were saved from. You got to know why you had to be redeemed. You have to know what it cost to be redeemed. Ah, that's heavy stuff. People don't want to hear that. It might give the kids nightmares. Kids need to know this stuff too. If we just give them a fluffy gospel until they're 18 years old and turn them loose on the world, they're going to crumble and fall. More on that next week. You know? That's why this stuff is so important to know. And it's not just... I'm not just talking about preachers here. I'm not just talking about pastors and church leaders here. It could be anybody and everybody should be preachers and proclaimers of the gospel. And way more are proclaimers of a gospel. Of some sort. Good news of some sort. I'll give you a very drastic one here. It could be anybody in any forum, right? A while back, an actress posted this on her Twitter account, okay? This is right off of her account. It says, "I love God, I believe in God, but I don't believe my personal beliefs of which we can't confirm." See, can't confirm my personal beliefs. She's already questioning this, okay? "I don't believe my personal beliefs of which we can't confirm should override scientific facts and what we can confirm." Then she quotes John 3:12, which, by the way, whose words are John 3:12? You want to take a guess? They're written in red in many Bibles. It says, "If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" She quotes Jesus, by the way, twisting his words to defend her. Want to guess what she was stepping out into this forum for? It was the abortion debate. Basically, mostly, because of the Georgia laws that were upping the restrictions. Using Jesus' words to defend in the abortion debate. For it. "I believe in God." You're misinformed. She just came out last week, same actress, saying how she does not regret having two abortions in 1993 and saying, "Without them, I wouldn't have the kids I have now. I wouldn't have my career. I wouldn't have this platform that I have to voice my opinion, and I wouldn't have my husband." In that order, by the way. Do you see why false prophets are so important to be able to identify and say, "She's messed up. She needs somebody to step in and tell her who Jesus really is, which is where we're getting to in a minute. But she's got a voice because she's famous. That's the dangers that we live in. I know somebody who I think might be a Christian. They think they might be a Christian, but they also believe in reincarnation. You know? I believe in reincarnation too. If you're talking about the being reborn like Jesus told to Nicodemus, right? You must be reborn. Nicodemus, how can I be born again? I can't enter. You need to be changed, given new life. There's the reincarnation for a Christian. Right? But I know this because the person professed it. False prophets have many forums and many platforms. And they need help. They need help. One more question though says, what about someone who's producing no fruit? A bad tree is a bad tree. Jesus uses the term with the imagery of the tree and saying it's taking up space. And all bad trees are what? Cut down and thrown into the fire. At least you can bake bread with them. Unleavened bread, by the way. Just so you know. This is, folks, false prophets can be anyone, anywhere. They can be trusted leaders in God's church, pastors, worship leaders, Sunday school teachers. They can be members of our family, friends, associates, people that we think, that we admire, like famous folks, leaders in various things. So they can even be us if we're not careful and intentional as we walk down that narrow path. There's the danger. We got that narrow path that we need to stray from, or stay on, not stray from. And those false prophets can be us if we're not careful. There's more danger. Maybe that's why we see so many warnings in Scripture about false prophets and what Jesus feels about them. There we go. Let's go back to this passage right here from our scripture this morning. It's not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many, 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 many out there professing their faith. And Jesus says, you know, there's going to be so many that come to me on that day of judgment, that day when we finally get to meet face to face and say, Lord, Lord, but they're not going to get in. Will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will, not everyone will, except for the one that does the will of my Father. On that day, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we preach your name? Didn't we share your gospel? Didn't we do the best we could? And look at the great works that we did. We built things for people. We went out and mowed their lawns. We helped them with groceries. We sat and talked with people, made them feel better. And he said, I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Can you imagine getting to heaven and Jesus looking at you go, I don't know you. It's got to be one of the scariest things that we can think of in our faith. Walking this life of faith, this life of trying to do stuff, but because we have this false theology, we have this false belief, we've been following the wrong leaders, and the leaders are following the wrong leaders. We get there and Jesus says, depart from me. It's way worse than when he looked at Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. He says, just go away. I don't know you. Because you never truly knew me, is what he's saying here. Scary, scary stuff in our faith. And if it's not scary to you, why not? It should. It should rattle you. If not for yourself, then for people that we love and care for that are facing this. I never knew you. Depart from me. That's what awaits false prophets. False proclaimers. And I want you to understand something. We're all going to make mistakes in our theology. This isn't talking about when, you know, we misunderstand a passage and when we're talking to somebody about it and we make mistakes. Jesus forgives mistakes, right? So there's a line here. And He knows our hearts. And we're all going to make mistakes. You know why we're all going to make mistakes? Because we're human. We're fallen creatures. There's sin in our lives. Folks, there is. So, this is a warning. But to be walking with Him is something. So we need to realize, though, that mistakes are going to happen on that. Jesus isn't talking about mistakes. He's talking about purposeful negligence when it comes to spreading His Word. And this is the real deal, and we need to be prepared. Be active in your faith. This is why, you know, dig into His Word. Because He tells us what prophets should look like. Test them. Test me. Make sure I'm telling you the right stuff. If a pastor's not willing to go out and say that, you might want to walk away. If he doesn't want you to question him on this, then might want to walk away. Because I don't want to be spreading false information purposely and being negligent. No one should be. Pam, you shouldn't be, right? Gary? I'm talking about Pam. Gotcha. All right? Yeah, so get into God's Word. Take it in. Study it. Know it. Believe it. Talk to God often, deeply. Real conversations with Him. Put on your armor every day. Oh, there's the fig tree thing. Yeah, I'm not ready for that yet. It's all right. Not ready for the fig tree. We're getting there. Yeah, but put on your armor every day. I thought I had this one out there. You know, from Ephesians. Know the truth. Trust the righteousness bestowed on you by God. Right? Apply the gospel of peace in your life. Be faithful that you can not only survive attacks on your faith, but you can repel attacks on your faith. Know your salvation is real, what it means, and what it took to provide it. And have the Word of God ready at all times to attack the evil in your life. It worked with Jesus in the desert, remember? So, is there hope for these false prophets that Jesus is talking about? Let me ask you something. Did God forgive you? Yeah, I see a lot of nodding heads. We ought to, yes, of course He did. Is there hope for all those, remember those billions and billions of people we talked about last week that are on that wide and open path? Is there hope for them? Yeah, because you know what? That narrow gate's coming up around the corner every time. There's many off-ramps onto that one, okay? Yes, there's hope for them. And if there's hope for us while we were yet sinners, if there's hope for them, there's hope for these guys too, and gals, equal opportunists. They're part of our mission. Now let's get to our Luke scripture here real quick. I want to wrap it up with this guy. This is Jesus telling this parable. He says, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Remember what I said? What if someone has no fruit? What if they're not producing any fruit? This is exactly who we're talking about here too. He says he found none, and he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? Why should it take the energy from the ground? Why should it take up space in my vineyard? And he answered him, he says, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. Remember our little thing, talk about casting pearls before swine? This guy still wants to cast some pearls. He's not done yet. He's not done trying yet. The owner of that vineyard said, it's wasting space, get rid of it. But there's those out there that had hope. Jesus has hope for us. And His Word is that fertilizer that they're trying to put on these trees that are not bearing any fruit. not saying that Jesus' word is manure, but it's definitely nourishing. He says, if you find folks out here like this, go to them, nourish them. People in your lives, people, point it out. And do what you can. Try. And eventually, God might ask us to move on. Stop casting those pearls. Stop giving what's holy to the dogs. Cut down the tree. But not without at least an effort. A strong effort. If there's false prophets in your life, don't just cast them away. And if it's in your power, nourish them. Do everything you can to get them on that right and narrow path. So they need saved like so many others need saved, like you needed saved. So stand firm in the faith. Proclaim God's glory. Thank Him for your salvation. Proclaim it. Don't hide it. Don't put it under a basket and hide it from the world. Thank Jesus for providing that salvation. Proclaim that. Thank the Holy Spirit for living in you and helping guide you on that narrow path, because we need a lot of help staying on that narrow path. Proclaim that. And trust that when you proclaim, Lord, Lord, that He's listening and ready to welcome you home. There's the good news. That as we stay on that narrow path, that there's somebody saying, welcome, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your words, these hard words of dealing with falseness and false prophets and just false ideas and how we can identify them, but then also that we have a burden to bear in this, to at least identify it and keep it out of our lives, but then also to call it out. Call it out that others may not be tainted by these false prophets, but then also that the person may turn towards You, towards the truth, the way, the truth, the life, a true life with You. Father, we thank You for Your words, and we thank You for that commitment that You've already given to us. And help us as we travel down that narrow path, that narrow way, that hard way, that we remember our commitment to You as well. That commitment to share Your word, to spread Your gospel, and just be Your disciples and be Your people that You've called us to be. Father, we thank You for Your Son. We thank You for the salvation that came through His sacrifice for us. And knowing that deep and that powerful gift, let that motivate us on into Your mission field as we see others that need to know You. So Father, help us in this. Help us stay on the true path. Proclaim true words and true beliefs in our lives. And step into other people's lives that they may have that truth as well. We ask Your help in this. We ask Your guidance in this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.